It's Sunday morning. Time for the Great Outdoors with Charlie Potter. Brought to you by the all-new Chevy Silverado and ChevyDriveChicago.com on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN Radio. Thank you very much for joining me this morning. We've got a wonderful show with Logan Russell, who is from Jackson, Mississippi, who is an expert, a real expert, on the Mississippi River and its tributaries of the lower Mississippi. And the reason I'm having Logan on the air this morning is that there is something going on once again in the lower Mississippi that is truly of national significance. And it's something that's been occurring with greater and greater frequency, and that's, of course, the flooding. But there's much more at stake here than just some wet basements or flooded lumber yards or flooded cotton fields. There's a whole systemic issue that is taking place. It's going to affect, could very well affect, all of us in the heartland of America, as the transportation center of the Mississippi is our corridor. So, Logan, thank you for joining us this morning. I've had the pleasure of knowing you for, gosh, Logan, it's almost 35 years. Hard to believe. We've had some wonderful times, and I've come to rely on you as a truly wise voice, without any skin in the game, who is observed what's going on with the lower Mississippi and the Corps of Engineers. And when you got in touch with me the other day, it reminded me that there's some really serious things going on. So you want to just roll a little bit of an introduction as to what is going on in the lower Mississippi and its tributaries?
Sure, Charlie. Great to be with you and speaking with your listeners of WGN Radio. Charlie, as you know, I come by this honestly. My grandfather's grandfather on my dad's side immigrated into Mississippi from Kentucky in 1844, and he landed at Friars Point, Mississippi, which is on the Mississippi River in Cahoma County. Prior to that, his family had operated a ferry on the Ohio River. It was actually started by his grandmother, and he and his father actually built roads to feed business to that ferry. So we're river people, and that's just on my dad's side. On my mom's side, my mom's great uncle was a fellow named Major Tom Dabney. And he was the first chief engineer of the Clarksdale Levee Board, which ironically and coincidentally was started by James Lusk Alcorn, who was the ancestor who came down from Kentucky. So this is very much in my blood as it is in yours. And with that background, I started studying the economics of this when I was a student at Ole Miss back in the early 80s. And uncovered a white paper at the time. It was later published. It was called The Impact of Federal Programs on Wetlands. And the chief investigator of that was a guy named Leonard Chapman, who was the head of the Virginia Water Resources Research Center at Virginia Tech at the time and is now with Resources for the Future. And Len and his team established the causes of wetlands losses in the Mississippi Alluvial Valley, which we colloquially call the Delta here locally, even though it's not the true Delta, you know, the mouth of the river down below New Orleans. That's what we call it here. And he established that Corps of Engineers flood control and tributary projects, along with crop subsidy programs, were the two primary causes of our wetlands losses. That ties into this whole issue because what we've got, Charlie, is a Mississippi River and Tributaries project that was passed by Congress in 1928. That was the year after the Great Flood of 27. And it has worked. We have to acknowledge that to this point in time, it has worked in terms of preventing massive calamity type of flooding, meaning a breakage of the Mississippi River levee and flooding of, say, for example, Baton Rouge in New Orleans. That has not happened. Yet, the risk factors of that happening are continually increasing. Nobody knows what the margin for error is. I would not purport to know that. But I do know definitively, and it's been proven not only by myself but other people, including the Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution, a guy named Sam Mendoz, and then Yizhan Zhu, a professor at LSU, that the flooding on the river we're experiencing now, the elevations of the flooding, are unprecedented. At Natchez, where your dear wife and my old friend is from, 10 out of 12 years in a row now, 10 of the last 12 years we've had flooding, 13 of the last 20. So what you can see from that,
why,
that it's
Logan,
gotten worse.
Why is that, Logan? I mean, you're walking us through history lane, which is critical to understanding this. But present day, what is going on that is causing these much higher flood levels and causing people across the country to think that the Corps maybe is not in control of the lower Mississippi River? What is physically taking place?
Well, there's no question they're not in control of the lower Mississippi River. What's happening is a combination of things. One, the water coming from the upper reaches, the middle reaches, and the lower reaches of the river, the drainage basin, it's getting to the river faster than it ever has. And that's because of urban and suburban development and also, quote-unquote, agricultural intensification of farmland, drainage systems on farmland, wetlands losses, okay? So the runoff from the storms is getting there faster than it ever has. The Woods Hole Oceanographic Institute said, and what the Corps wants to say is, well, it's climate change, okay? Woods Hole said, no, that's at most 25% of this problem. The other 75% is you, Corps of Engineers, your projects. So faster runoff, then it hits a river that has been, quote-unquote, trained. The river has been straightened. It's been channelized. It's had revetment put on the sides of it. It's had wing dikes, chevron dikes, and, oh, not to mention, cutoffs. So it's been shortened 150 miles. So, of course, the flow is faster. And, unfortunately, there has been no corresponding increase in the discharge of that water. In fact, the discharge has been reduced. When the Corps decided to build the Old River Control Complex below Natchez to prevent the Mississippi River from jumping into the Chaffalai, which it wants to do, gravity wants it to do it. The nature of the river, it wants to do that. The Corps said, we can't allow that because we cannot allow the ports of Baton Rouge, New Orleans, and South Louisiana to be stranded by the Mississippi River jumping into the Chaffalai. So they built a man-made complex, Old River Control Complex, but then they cut the flow of water back below the natural level that the river was allocating to the Atchafalaya, and Charlie, they've essentially created a dam. And the river has accentuated that man-made effect by silting in below Old River Control, so there's an underwater weir, okay, and narrowing its channel by over half a mile since Old River Control was built. So what we have now is a river that can't evacuate its water, and naturally it is backing up and rising. So we have more frequent floods that last longer and at a higher level than they've ever been before, which is putting an incredible strain on the levee system. And our concern is that eventually the levee is going to break. I can't tell you when, but I can tell you if this trend continues, it's simply going to overtop, and once the levee overtops, then the erosion on the backside, the protected side of the levee, causes it to fail, and all bets are off.
Let's do this, Logan. Let's take a break. We're visiting with Logan Russell, who's an expert on the Mississippi River and its tributary system. Logan, when we come back, without getting into too much into the science, I'd love for you to explain why the Mississippi River wants to change course and go down the Atchafalaya through Morgan City, and why that would be catastrophic to the commerce of America. And then also, what is taking place now in Mississippi with this attempt to put the world's largest pumping station in, which would be a travesty for wetlands and wildlife, and also, I think, it's been proven to be economically just a joke. But why the Corps of Engineers is so set on trying to continue to do the things that have been proven not to work. So if we can talk about that in a way that it helps our listeners understand the big picture. We'll be back in just a moment. We're visiting with Logan Russell. This is Charlie Potter. I'm the outdoor voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN. And first, a message from our longtime sponsors in Northwest Indiana and Chicagoland, Chevrolet Dealers.
In the field, hunters need to be alert, sense the environment around them and know exactly where they are, communicate seamlessly with their dogs. And when it comes to pickup trucks, you want the same qualities. The all-new Chevy Silverado comes with an available 4G Wi-Fi hotspot for seamless communication. It's designed to handle the toughest loads with advanced trailering technology, tough on the road and off. And the all-new design gives you more cargo space than the competition. Chevy Silverado is the most dependable, longest-lasting, full-size pickup on the road. Plus, there's never been a better time to see your local Chevy dealer about the Big Fix lease. It's an amazing lease deal that can lower your monthly payments and give you more Chevy, all for less money. That's a treasure hunt. So head to your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealer or go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and see why Chevy is the number one best-selling brand in Chicagoland, now 8 years running.
It's Charlie Potter and the Great Outdoors on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN Radio, and I hope very much you're enjoying the show, talking about the Mississippi River and what's going on and why eventually the Mississippi as we know it today will probably not exist. And sitting here in Chicago, we might say, well, that's the problem of people in the lower Mississippi. We don't really care. We care very much, and we care very much because of the amount of transportation that comes up and down the river, our energy resources at the mouth of the river. The entire commerce of the heartland of America is dependent on the mighty Mississippi flowing as it is. And Logan, you're telling us that someday it may not flow this way and that someday may not be that far off.
That's right, Charlie. There's a natural process at play here, and it's gravity. The Mississippi River wants to find the shortest, steepest route to the Gulf. And that is down the Atchafalaya. It's much shorter to come to the Gulf at Morgan City than it is to go past Baton Rouge and New Orleans and out ahead of Passes. So as a result of that, the river is doing the things that a river does to enable a jump, which is it is silting in and narrowing and backing water up. And unfortunately, the Corps of Engineers operation of the old river control complex in concert with the river cutoffs, with allowing its outlets, in other words, its backwater areas to silt in, and even on top of that, propose to pump them out, is playing to the river's hand that it will jump sooner rather than later. That would, as you mentioned, be devastating for the U.S. economy because of all the exports that come down the Mississippi River, as well as the refinery capacity, which is roughly 25% of the United States refinery capacity that's on the Mississippi River between Baton Rouge and New Orleans.
So let me ask you, Logan, quickly, if the Corps of Engineers didn't exist and we had not put up these levees and all these control structures on the river, would by this time the Mississippi already have jumped to the Atchafalaya? Would this have occurred naturally in the past 150 years?
You know, those are two separate questions, and they're very difficult to address, but I'll take a stab at it. The levees have hemmed the river in such that it cannot, wind across its floodplain. That has raised the elevation of the flood significantly, given the river more bite when it does hit a major flood. What stopped the river from jumping already, in all likelihood, is the old river control complex. The problem is the Corps fixed, and actually the Congress did it, they fixed the flow through the old river control complex at such a static level that it is causing significant problems. To directly answer your question, the river will jump eventually. It wants to jump. It's been moving all over its floodplain for millennia, and mankind just cannot stop that.
So moving up the river to what's going on right now in the state of Mississippi, where there's 500,000 acres of agricultural lands inundated, can you
tell us why the Corps is so set on trying to put in the world's largest pumping station. And if you are, of course, if you're living downstream of the mouth of the Yazoo River, that's not good news, and you can't be excited about more water coming your way. Can you, in about 2 minutes, Logan, before we run out of time, tell us why this is such a central issue to the whole management of the river?
Yeah, the original Mississippi River and Tributaries project didn't include these cattywampus pumps. It included a floodway at Eudora, Arkansas, to get water out of the Mississippi River into the Tensaw, into the Red, into the Atchafalaya. That was a genius idea. Unfortunately, politically, it didn't happen, and that's when this craziness of we're going to take the Yazoo backwater area and we're going to use it as a sump, okay, for backwater of the Mississippi River during flood events. No, by the way, we're going to pump it out. Okay, so we're going to put more water in the Yazoo, into the Mississippi, and raise these flood elevations we're talking about even higher, and putting the levee system at greater risk, and putting the river at greater risk of jumping by building the world's largest pumps. It's craziness, okay? And what needs to happen, of course, is a generous buyout program to go into those lands and to those landowners and say, look, we're going to buy you out. We're going to buy the right to flood you. We're going to plant all this in trees, and we're going to use this to maximum extent possible prevent the Mississippi River from jumping by holding this water upstream of where its most likely jump location is.
So the Corps maybe had the science right 50 or 75 years ago, but the politics wouldn't let them get it done. Is that the essence of what we're dealing with now? And ultimately, what happens here in the Mississippi Delta?
Yeah, that is the essence. It's a political situation that the good idea, the good science, did not prevail. Politics did. And now the Mississippi Delta interests are trying to further that bad outcome with using political power with an even worse outcome. So it's just insult to injury. What the ultimate resolution of this is will depend on whether those Mississippi Delta interests can sufficiently rig the system to get their pumps built, and will that prove to be the straw that finally breaks the camel's back of the levee system and causes the catastrophic flooding of Baton Rouge and New Orleans and the calamity for the U.S. economy. Look, there is a plan B, and it's the 10-Tom. But, Charlie, think how inefficient it is to run all those grain exports from the Midwest through the Tennessee River, the Ohio River, to the Tennessee, down the 10-Tom, through all those locks and dams, and come out at Mobile versus the current system on the Mississippi River. Well, if the Mississippi River jumps in the Atchafalaya, that's exactly what's going to happen. We're going to have to use Ohio, Tennessee, and 10-Tom to get exports out. The 25% of the refinery capacity of the United States will be mothballed. It's just a nightmare scenario, and we got to do something about it. And the something about it is to do the political will that we didn't have in 1920s and 30s and get it right this time.
Well, Logan, I thank you for joining us, and I'm not sure you left us on an upbeat note, but you certainly have helped us educate us as to what's going on with the biggest river in North America and why Mother Nature always wins, even if the Corps of Engineers says it won't. So, Logan, I thank you for being with us. We will continue to monitor this spring as the floods again are, as you said, 11 out of 12 years flooding in areas that hadn't had in a long time. This is not going to lessen. So thank you, Logan. It's Logan Russell from Jackson, Mississippi, and this is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN. Thank you for being with me.